You will please open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll be in this passage for much of our lessons as we look at a story dealing with a high priest named Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and their sin and disregard for the laws of God, for the actions of other people around them, and centered around the theme this morning of honoring God. We are so glad that you are here. As we have already stated, Steve, when he made the announcements, we're thankful for the visitors. We do have several visitors that are with us. We're thankful for your presence. We appreciate so much you coming by and being with us today. Please stay around for a few moments and give us a chance to meet you and to greet you this morning. The context of our story this morning is from the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel, as we said. And the historical context is the time of the judges, at the very end of the time of the judges, just before the period of the United Kingdom. Samuel was the last of the great prophets and judges of this period of time. He wasn't the last of the great prophets of Israel, but of this period. He was the last of the great judges, and we might say the first of the great prophets would be a better way of stating that, if you don't count Moses, who was also a great prophet. But Samuel was a great prophet and a wonderful, godly man, and we see the story of his birth here in the first chapter. The book of Samuel opens with the story of his mother and how that she was so upset constantly because she did not have a child. She was one of two wives of her husband, and the other wife was always giving her a hard time, and she would come before the Lord and she desired a son so badly. And on one occasion it says that she came before the Lord at the temple, and she said to the Lord that if he would give her a son, that she would give him into the hand of the Lord to serve the Lord all the days of his life. And Samuel was born. And Samuel was given at a young age into the temple, or we would say the tabernacle still at this point. The physical building, the temple, had not been built yet. And Eli was the high priest. And so the story here in the first few chapters revolves around the birth of Samuel, this important figure in the Old Testament, and the story of Eli and his sons. And it's kind of representative in different ways of how far Israel had fallen during this period and the struggles that Israel was having on a spiritual basis. We see at the end of the book of Judges some terrible stories. Some terrible stories at the end of the book of Judges. They're almost put almost as an appendix on the end of the book of Judges to illustrate to us how terrible and how wicked the nation of Israel had become. And we know from reading the book of Judges that over and over again we see Israel falling into idolatry and going further and further and further away from God. And now we open this book, the next book, the book of 1 Samuel, and we see right at the end of this period, because pretty soon as we read through Samuel, we'll find of the appointment of Saul to be the first king, and then David the second king, and then Solomon after him. And so the period of the kingdom is coming, and coming quickly as we read through the book of 1 Samuel. But we begin here at the beginning with another picture of how sorry the culture had become, even to the point of the priesthood becoming corrupted. And so open with me here to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and beginning at verse 12, and I'm going to do some reading here at the very beginning, just because I know you didn't know where we were going to be studying this morning, and I want us to read it together and to learn a little bit together and talk about some points here as we think about Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. Verse 12 here of chapter 2, 1 Samuel, says, "Now the sons of Eli were base men." That means they were wicked. They were evil. They were base men. And they knew not Jehovah. And the custom of the priest with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was boiling with a fish hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priests took therewith, and so did in Shiloh, and all the Israelites came thither. Yea, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the men that sacrifice, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have boiled flesh to eat, but raw. And if the man said to him, we will surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as your soul desireth, then he would say, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. And the sin of the young man was great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. And so in this reading, at the beginning of the chapter, we begin to see some of the sins of Hophni and Phinehas. And their sins began, we're going to read more about their troubles in just a moment, but their sins in regard to the sacrifices of the people. It's kind of interesting to notice here that the custom or the instruction that had been given, and clearly here the sacrifices, these sacrifices, not all sacrifices would have been this way, but these particular ones that are being discussed here, these sacrifices were to be boiled, and then the priest would take his portion. He would take this instrument, and he would dive it into the water, and he would pull out his portion. And we know that with many of the sacrifices, some of them were whole burnt offerings that were burned upon the altar, and the whole animal would be consumed. But with a number of the other offerings, the portion would be divided. And some of the offerings, the person who brought the offering would have a part and would partake. And others of it, it would just go to the priest, and the rest would be burned upon the fire. And so there were different instructions for different kinds of situations with the different kinds of sacrifices that were given. But in this case, it says the sacrifices were to be boiled, then the priest would take his portion. And so, as we said, there were very specific laws about the priest's portion and the people's portion, and which sacrifices would be wholly consumed upon the altar. But what's happening here, and what's interesting is that Eli's sons, who were priests, now Eli was the high priest. He was the number one priest. He was the priest that were over the other priests. But there would be other priests serving. Certainly the high priest didn't do all the sacrificing. In fact, he may have done very little. But the other priest did the majority of the sacrificing for the people who came. But he is the high priest over the priesthood. But his sons, who are regular priests and are making sacrifices and accepting the sacrifices from the people who come, the sons are demanding a portion before it's boiled. I was talking about this passage, which sometimes I do on Sunday morning when I have a study with some of my Chinese friends, and I piggyback on what I've been studying already. So I was reading this passage to my Chinese friends this morning, and I asked them, I said, do you like your meat boiled or do you like it roasted on the fire? And they said, oh, we like it roasted on the fire. Well, I think most of us do. Roasted meat, grilled meat, barbecue meat tastes better to us usually than boiled meat. And I guess that's the way Hophni and Phinehas were. And they were saying, you just give us the raw meat. You just give us the raw meat and we'll cook it the way we want to cook it. But the people, knowing the law, the people said, no, you do it what you're supposed to do. And you can take as much as you want. But they were making a request here to follow the law. They knew that this was not right. But they said, give it to us now, and if not, we will take it by force. Can you imagine such a thing? Here's the priests of the law, coming in and asking the people to do something that was not in accordance with the law, that was not consistent with what the instructions were supposed to be under the law. And they say, we want to do it this way. And the people say, no, just then you can have as much. And he said, you do it the way we want it. We'll take it by force. We'll force you. So that's Hophni and Phinehas. And verse 17 says, the sin was very great before the Lord. Can you imagine how the Lord felt about that? Well, we read more about their sins. Go down a few verses. There's a few verses in between here about Samuel ministering as a child. We'll skip that. Go down to verse 22. And Eli was old, and this is the passage that Jordan already read for us, but Eli was old, and so we won't read it all in detail. I'll just kind of hit the highlights here. And all of his sons, and he had heard that his sons had done in Israel. And notice their other sin. It says how that they had laid with women. They had committed adultery with women that were working at the door of the tent of meeting. There were volunteers or people that would come to serve. There was a priesthood that was appointed by the people. But there were others who came and worked. And we see this on several occasions in the Old Testament. Some that would be around the tabernacle, around the temple, and offer to do work and to help. And there were limited things that could be done in service for the priests. And so here were some of the women who were offering their time and coming and doing things at the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And they were taking advantage of these women. We have no idea about the women and whether they were willingly participated or they were pressured in. We don't know. We're not told about that end of this. But we know what the men were doing. We know the sin that was being committed. And so the father comes to them in verse 23 and says, "Why do ye these things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make Jehovah's people to transgress." Verse 24. You're causing, it's bad enough that you're sinning, but you're causing other people to transgress. He says, "If one man sin against another, God shall judge him. But if a man sins against Jehovah, who shall entreat for him? Nevertheless, they hearkened not." They didn't listen to their father. They hearkened not to the voice of their father. And we might say this was a twofold rejection. Not only were they not listening to their father, who they should listen to, they should have had enough respect for their father to listen to him and to respect his wishes and to respect the law of God. But he was also their superior. He was also the high priest over them in the pecking order, in the temple, in the tabernacle. And of course, what he should have done is he should have acted. But he did, and we'll see the criticism, the condemnation that he gets from God concerning that. Well, let's go down to verse 27. And so we'll see that Eli gets a visit from a man of God. We're not told the man's name. He's unknown to us, but it says, "There came a certain man of God to Eli and said, Thus saith Jehovah, did I reveal myself unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in bondage in Pharaoh's house?" The answer to that is obviously yes. Did God reveal himself to Israel? Did God reveal himself to the house of his father? Yes. "And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, and to go up to mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me?" Did I do that? Did I choose Levi? Of all the tribes of the nation, 12 tribes of the nation, did I choose one tribe in particular to wear the ephod and to go up into the tabernacle and to offer sacrifice and to do the work of the sanctuary? Did I do that? Well, to ask the question, it's a rhetorical question. Obviously, yes. "And did I give into the house of thy father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Have I not provided for you? Did I not give you the offerings, the meat that comes, the support that comes?" The Levites didn't have to work. They were not given a portion of land as the other tribes were, but they were given cities throughout the nation. And they were to provide service to the nation of Israel. And they were to be the priests, and they were to care for the worship of Jehovah God. But God provided for them from the sacrifices the other people worked. And they just got to be priests. Kind of reminds you of a preacher, doesn't it? Don't have to work for a living. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing for them to be able to serve God in this way and to be provided, and they worked hard. The priests worked hard. There's no doubt about that. But they were provided by the people. They didn't have to sow and reap. They didn't have to gather into barns. They didn't have to do those things. They were provided for by the people of the nation. And that's what God's asking him through the prophet here. That's what God's asking. He said, "Did I not give unto your father's house the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire?" So I think I'm behind, but it was an unknown prophet, and he reminds him, "Did not God do this for you?" Yes. But then he asks a question. He says in verse 29, "Wherefore?" Why? Wherefore is an older word that's used there in the American Standard. "Wherefore, why kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thou sons above me?" Why? Eli, why? Why then do you kick at my sacrifices? My footnote says to trample upon. What does it mean to trample on something in common parlance? If we take a flag off the flagpole and we lay it down and we trample on it, what are we saying? We're saying we disrespect this flag and what it stands for. And that's what he's saying. He said, "Why do you kick? Why do you trample upon my sacrifices? Why are you disrespecting me in this way? I gave you law. I gave you instructions. I gave you what you were supposed to have. And I have blessed you in all these ways, going all the way back to the time that I appointed thee in thy father's house of the tribe of Levi to be a special tribe to do me service. So why do you kick at my sacrifice and my burnt offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation?" This is my house. "And honorest thou sons above me." Why are you honoring your sons above me? Why are you putting someone else above me? And that's where we want to go this morning with this lesson. We notice the punishment. I'm not going to go on and read in detail, but Eli's house would be cut off. Someone else would be given within the tribe of Levi. Clearly, someone else would have that portion of the priesthood, which would be the high priest, but Eli's household would be cut off. There would not be an old man in the house. No one's going to die of old age in your house because of this. And your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are going to die. We see that in the next couple of chapters when they go up against the Philistines and they are killed. Israel would prosper, he says, but his family would not. Those that are left would have to beg for bread. Verse 36 says that someone would say, "Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's office that I may eat a morsel of bread. Let's give me a job. Let me be a priest again. Let me do what my father, my grandfather did, that I might eat a morsel of bread." They're going to go wanting. They're going to go begging. Your house is going to suffer. Your people are going to suffer. You have taken advantage. Your sons have taken advantage. And now the family would pay the price. Honoring God. I put the passage back up from verses 29 and 30. "Wherefore, why kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And honor my sons, honor thy sons above me." At the end of verse 30, he says, "Far be it from me, for them that honor," notice, "for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." That is a principle that still exists in God's message today. And we need to heed it. We need to think about it. Those that honor, God will honor. Those that honor Him, those that respect Him, those that love Him, those that show mercy to others, He will show mercy. For those who seek Him, He will seek. For those who honor Him, He will honor. But if those despise me, they will be lightly esteemed. 3 points in the lesson will be yours this morning. We honor God when we honor the worship that He has ordained. Eli's sons dishonored God when they did not obey the laws, the instructions, the limitations, the laws of sacrifice. And so as we saw in the story, when we see Eli's sons disregarding the sacrifice, choosing for whatever reason Maybe it's because they liked broiled meat better than boiled meat, for whatever reason, whether it was covetousness, whether it was gluttony, whether it was just the taste within their mouth, for whatever reason. It sure appears to me that they were men that were consumed with the sensual over the spiritual. They were consumed with the carnal things of this life as far as their food was concerned and as far as their women were concerned. They were just carnal. They knew not Jehovah. We'll get back to that in a moment. But Eli's sons dishonored God. And because of their desires for that kind of meat to be cooked in a particular way, and said, we'll even force you if you don't give it to us on your own, because of their desire for that, they corrupted the worship of Jehovah God. And the same is true for us today. We can dishonor God when we teach and we practice the doctrines and the precepts of men. We don't have the time to turn back and read it all in detail, but Jesus criticized the Pharisees of his own generation because of their hypocrisies, and because they taught as their doctrines the precepts of men, because they changed God's laws to their own advantage, to their own financial advantage, to their own power advantage among the people. And they told someone, well, that money you're supposed to use to honor father and mother, if you want to give it to the temple instead, I know that a piece of that money will get back to us. And that's the reason that they were encouraging that. But if you want to give some, instead of honoring father and mother, you can give that money to the temple instead. You can devote that to God if you want to. And Jesus said, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Jesus is saying that when we teach the doctrines of men over the will of God, when we honor what we want above what God has said, then we're worshiping in vain. And so people say, well, why can't we do this? Or why can't we do that? Why can't we use instruments of music? Why can't we have the Lord's Supper monthly or quarterly instead of weekly? Why can't we have Coca-Cola and chocolate chip cookies instead of bread and fruit of the vine? I really like Diet Coke and chocolate cookies. I could make a meal off of Diet Coke and chocolate chip cookies. It might not be good for me, but I could do that. I could get into that. Why don't we do that? Because that's not what God commanded. It has nothing to do with what tastes good to me. It has nothing to do with what I might prefer. It has nothing to do with what might sound good to me. What did God command? What did God instruct? God instructed us to sing 9 times in the New Testament. Music is mentioned in Scripture, and every time it's sing, 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 sing. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing unto the Lord with our voices, singing from the heart. And so, well, why are you so narrow about that? Well, why was God so narrow about what he wanted under the law? He just was. This is what he commanded, and he expected to be honored and obeyed. And so we dishonor God when we teach the doctrines of men, when we add to or when we take away, when we decide that we know better than what God has given to us in the worship of Jehovah God today, we dishonor him. Secondly, we honor God when we live godly and righteous lives. Eli's sons dishonored God by their immorality. And they led people away, and they caused a blemish upon Israel, just as David did later. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and it became known, and what a problem that was within his life and within his family, and what a problem it was in the nation. What a bad example he was to others. Eli's sons dishonored God by the way that they lived. Look over at the New Testament in Romans chapter 2 and notice something here that the Apostle Paul says about our actions. He's talking about the Jews. He's condemning the Jews. In the first couple of chapters of the book of Romans, he talks about the Gentiles and the Jews. And his point is the same, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he says in chapter 1 that the Gentiles were under condemnation. Here in chapter 2, he talks about how that the Jews were under condemnation. And part of his critique of the Jews is found here in verse 21 beginning. He says, "Thou, therefore, that teachest another, dost thou not teach yourself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal?" Paul is going to be pointing out their hypocrisy. Here were the Jews who claimed to be following the law. Here were the Jews who claimed to be teaching others. He says, if you teach others, shouldn't you teach yourself? Shouldn't you listen to the law yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say that a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, do you rob temples? Thou that gloriest in the law, do you transgress the law and dishonor God? That's what they were doing. And he says in verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. God's name was being blasphemed among the Gentiles. What do you see when you see a hypocrite? What do you say when you see a hypocrite? When you see someone that claims to believe in something, and yet their actions are just the opposite. I'm not going to get political, but I could. I'm tempted to. But people who claim that we should all live in a certain lifestyle, and we should turn off our electricity, and that we should do this and that, and yet they're flying around in jets that are using way more electricity and fossil fuels than you ever will in your life. It's hypocrisy. Okay, I got political. What happens when you claim to be a Christian and you talk about going to church on Sunday and they know what you're supposed to be standing for, and you gossip as bad as anyone else in the office, and you take God's name in vain at the office, and you tell little dirty jokes like everyone else at the office, and you laugh along with everyone else at the office, or even worse, when people find out about your lies, or your adultery, or your stealing. And Paul is saying to the Jews, the name of God is blasphemed. People just scoff. Oh, who would serve a God like that? Who would go to that church? What a hypocrite. But the opposite is also true. We honor God when we live righteous lives. And so Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." How many times have people seen the good works of someone, and someone who is a righteous individual and is seeking to do right and is humble in their attitude, and said, "You know, I think I may go check out that church. If that produces people like that, it's worth checking out." What kind of faith does that person have? What causes that person to tick? What causes that person to live that way? I need to check that out. We honor God when we live lives of righteousness. And lastly, we honor God when we honor His Son. You can't dishonor the Son and honor God. We honor God when we honor His Son. Maybe the most amazing statement to me in all of this story. Maybe the most amazing statement in all of this story is in verse 12 of chapter 2 when it talks about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and it says they knew not Jehovah. You think about that. They were priests. What do you mean they didn't know Jehovah? They knew the law. They knew the instructions of the law. They knew what on which day they were supposed to trim the lamps. They knew on which days they were supposed to offer the sacrifices. They knew the law. They probably could quote it inside and out. It was their job. What do you mean they didn't know the Lord? They didn't really know Him. They didn't know Him in their hearts. They didn't love Him from the heart. They didn't care about His Word. They didn't respect Him. They didn't reverence Him. They didn't honor Him. They weren't devoted to Him. That's what He means. Is it possible to be a Christian and not know the Lord? Is it possible to be a member of the Church of Christ and yet not know the Lord? Is it possible to be, quote, a member in good standing and your name printed on the bulletin or on the directory and not really know the Lord? Not really have it in your heart, not really being convinced, not really being convicted, just going through the motions because you always did, and your mommy and daddy always brought you to church, and grandma and granddaddy went to church, and so I went to that church, and I've always been in that church because that's what the family does. Yes, it's possible. And I'm afraid it happens often. We must individually, this is your responsibility. No one can do this for you. Wife or husband cannot honor Jesus for you. Wife or husband cannot worship for you. Wife or husband cannot have the heart that you should have for you. In John chapter 5, Jesus said, "For neither doth the Father judge any man, but He hath given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent Him." We need to be honoring the Father and the Son in our lives. We honor Him and serve Him when we love Him and we're devoted to Him and when we obey Him. It needs to be in our hearts, but it also needs to be in our actions. It needs to be in our thoughts. It needs to be completely consumed with Him in our lives. That's what He wants. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be hungry. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Excuse me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed is the man whose wife is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and he will be filled. No, it doesn't say that. Blessed is the woman whose children are good people and are devoted to God, and she will receive blessings because of what her children have done for the Lord. No, it doesn't say that. You must honor Him. You must serve Him. You must love Him. Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus said, "He that heareth you, heareth me. He that rejecteth you, rejecteth me. And he that rejecteth me, rejecteth him that sent me." See, it's all connected together. God who sent His Son. God who sent His Son, who sent out His apostles. His apostles who were teaching the words of Jesus Christ. The words that He heard from the Spirit. Jesus had promised them, "I'm going to send you and I'm going to give you the words. And the Spirit's going to guide you into all truth." When we hear and when we obey the apostolic message, we're honoring Jesus. Because He's the one that sent those men out to teach that message. And for us to obey that message, we need to honor Jesus. Get your songbooks out. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you're not a Christian, a child of God, we want you to be, because the apostles, the apostolic message is that there is salvation in no other name. No other name. Acts 4, 11 and 12. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only name. The name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must go. And when we honor Him, we honor the Father. God deserves our honor. in everything we do. He deserves our obedience in everything we do. He deserves our devotion in everything we do. The gospel has been given. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Just hear the gospel message. Believe in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess His name before men. Be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the gospel message. We honor Jesus when we obey Him. Do you need to do that? Then let that be known. Come to the front. Make your request known. We'll help you obey Him today. While together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
I have decided to follow.